Hello, it's time for a brand new My Mate Bought a Toaster. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening. I really, really appreciate it. Before we start the show, just a quick word, a fraction of a second, to let you know that this show is brought to you by our friends at Onto. They are the company who can allow you to subscribe to an electric car. Get rid of your petrol and your diesel. Stop burning old dinosaur bones and get yourself an electric car. It's an incredible deal that they offer. On.to. Go and check it out. It's amazing. You can get all sorts of different electric cars from Nissan Leafs to Renault Zoes, Teslas as well. And you pay them a monthly subscription and they pay for the insurance. They even pay for your fuel, which is very exciting. On.to. Go and have a look at it. Anyway, episode time? Yeah, come on then.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
There's a chance I might just start making shit up.
Right.
You just have to go with it.
So much power.
You're sitting in your sister's house and I'll just sit here going, these are massive sex toys, Kyle. They are huge. Hello, welcome back to My Mate Bought a Toaster. This week I'm joined by the fantastic actor Kyle Smith-Bino. Kyle, hello, welcome to My Mate Bought a Toaster. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well. I'm thoroughly excited to be rooting around inside your Amazon. How does it feel?
It feels invasive.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
And I'm scared.
Okay, great.
The thing is, right, I think the reason that I conceived this ludicrous podcast was just to have some power and agency in my life.
Because I've
just been snowed under by small children for the last basically decade.
Right.
So this is just, all this thing is a giant power play by me. So apologies for that.
Sure. No, fine, man. you live out those, however you need to. I'm happy to help.
Great, thank you, mate. Thank you for facilitating that. So describe to us where you are right now, Kyle. What's your setup for the recording today?
I'm in the house of Danielle Vitalis, who has a setup which I can only describe as state of the art.
Mm, really?
Yeah, it's a wonderful setup that she has here in her living room. Okay. And it sounds so clear that I feel like I'm on Classic FM.
If you want to do a link and you know, like make this an audition.
Oh yeah, sure.
For a Classic FM gig. I mean,
I don't actually know the names of any songs. I can make it up.
I'm literally sitting going, I can't think of, and here's something by Bach. There we are. That's what I got to.
I believe that.
All right. So we're going to go diving back into your past, Kyle, and we're going back to 2008.
2008. Uh-huh. I don't even know you could go back that far.
Uh-huh. Yes, you go. I can go right back to your first ever order on Amazon.
Okay, this will be interesting.
Yeah, there you go. Now you're on board.
I thought it would all be I didn't even remember having Amazon then.
Well, I mean, what were you doing in 2008? Paint us the
2008,
picture.
2008. I was 2008 was my second year at drama school.
Right. Where did you go to drama school?
East 15.
Very nice.
Yeah. So I would have been in my second year because I started 2007. Oh, no, I would have been, first year going into second year. Mm-hmm. And I probably got Amazon because it was my first time away from home. So I could fill up the house with as much shit as I wanted. And I did. Oh, I did.
Oh, mate. Well, I can see that. I can see that. You went to town. You bought the Glass Menagerie by Tennessee Williams on the 18th of August.
No idea where that is now.
Right, good, excellent.
Or
good
if it even came.
Who cares? I mean, you spent 18 quid. They've got the money. Was there a reason why? Were you studying that at East 15?
I think we had to study a book out of like a play out of a list. And I think I just picked that one.
Mm.
But I don't remember single thing about it.
I could so just put you on the spot now. Imagine you're on Classic FM, Kyle, and you're about to introduce a soundtrack to the Glass Menagerie. Give us a little taste of what that would sound like.
So this one is a personal favourite of mine, and every time I listen to this, it takes me back to when I played Horace in the Glass Menagerie.
Great.
At the National, actually, on all stages at once.
Wow. Do you know what? I've suddenly realised, after making 50 or however many episodes of this podcast, we need to do a completely fictional one.
Yeah. Just, is that not what this is?
That would be so good.
Tell the truth.
No, I don't. Now I'm thinking maybe you should just talk, just completely make every single word up. I'm fine with that. If at any time you want to go off into complete fiction.
Right.
Don't tell me, just do it.
Okay, sure.
That would really spice things up. The other thing you bought by Clifford Odets, Golden Boy. What's the Golden Boy, please?
Oh, Golden Boy's a play. I remember that one because I've still got that.
Okay.
That's a play about a boxer. It's set in New York in like the 50s or 60s or something.
Right.
And it's about a boxer. And I know that Sammy Davis Jr. played this part on Broadway.
Wow.
And I know that because I... listen to, there's this Rat Pack Live special that they did in 67, I think it was, and it's the only recorded, like, full recorded show of the Rat Pack.
Oh, wow.
And he sings a song from Golden Boy in there.
Ah, oh, okay.
So that's why I remember that.
Nice.
Not because I was paying attention in drum school.
And did you use this? Did you play this part yourself, or did you just buy it to read and study?
I think we did, like, an extract from the play.
Okay.
Yeah.
It must have been really nice having 3 years of drama school where you could basically browse drama. And was it, am I sort of idealizing it here? Was it that nice where you could just pick stuff up and have a, you know what I mean? Like a sort of buffer,
yeah,
just wandering along a trestle table of drama.
It was something like that. I mean, I had a great time. A lot of people in my year didn't, because we had the biggest year of any drama school ever in the world. We had 53 students in our year.
Oh, geez.
And the sort of average is like 30.
Yeah, and also the average percentage of those guys who then go on to act.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So was it quite competitive then? Were there some sharp elbows? And
I mean, not for me. There were 14 blonde girls in our year, and there were 2 black boys.
And oh, wow.
So, I mean, we were bumping elbows in a friendly way.
Yeah,
that's what we do.
Yeah,
but yeah, for the girls, it was a bit. It got a bit, especially towards the end, towards a sort of showcase time where everyone's fighting for an agent and whatnot.
Yeah.
It got spiky, man. but I was fine.
Yeah,
because I'm not. Oh, sorry. I must say, I'm not a blonde female.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
I should have
clarified that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Awkward. I thought I was okay.
No, sorry.
That's the vibes I was getting off you.
But we can carry on, right?
Blonde female. Talk to me about that, please. I know, oh God, it's really annoying that, like, the first question I'm asking you is about being a black actor at drama school and there's only 2 of you there. And I don't really want this to be a podcast where we talk about the colour of your skin, because that shouldn't be relevant.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
I am interested to know, what is it like? Did you feel it? Did you forget about it? How is it for you to do that? How was it?
I was very aware of, I was aware of it mainly because I was a minority. And there were, I mean, out of the whole year, because we have the acting course and then we have the community course and the contemporary course.
Mm.
So there were a few more people of color in those courses, but out of the, on the BA acting, there was just myself and another guy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was aware of it, but I think that it worked in my favor. Also, I felt like sometimes directors would come in and not know what to do, especially like we did plays. We did some, you do a module called The Americans, and you pick an American play, and usually it's from a period in history. And the play that we did was set in like the 50s, I think it was called, The Little Foxes.
Right.
And I played a white slave owner. And then
okay.
I also played the house servant in the first half. So like we switched it, and we had to switch roles constantly because we had 1,500 people in our year. So we had to always switch roles. But so I think it worked in my favor because it was the main character that I ended up playing that was this slave owner, and the story was sort of all about him. And I think out of the director not really being sure how to use the only black person in the class, in the class to she sort of went, oh, well, I'll try this. That'll be interesting. And I think that was honestly one of my best roles. And I think, like, especially, I mean, maybe 11 people saw it, but I do honestly think that that was one of my best roles, because I was like, I was playing an old white man in a wheelchair that was on his sort of like on his last legs. And he sort of had to figure out what he was doing with his estate, and his wife was trying to con him, and the whole family was sort of against him. And it was like, it was especially at, what was I, 19, 20?
Yeah.
Playing a part like that and not really having life experience to sort of know how to play that. But like, giving that my best shot, I think that like it really did something for me as an actor to be like, oh, okay, you can just play anything. I don't have to just play like the parts that I'm seeing people that look like me play. There's also
so what's that like in terms of the typecasting thing? Do you that must has that got better in recent years, or is that still a big problem?
I think it has got better. It's certainly been better for me, but I think there's still a lot of work to be done. Because I know that like people are still constantly getting typecast, and it's sort of like when I left drama school, when you were auditioning, you're auditioning for the person that has been stabbed or is doing the stabbing or something like that. And like my first role out of drama school was in Whitechapel, and I play a guy whose brother's been shot by the police, and I go in and give my statement. So it was all sort of, I felt like around that time, it was all sort of, those are the kind of roles that you're going to get. But as my career went on, it became a lot more, diverse. Yeah. And now I'm playing a man whose, wife can see ghosts.
Yes, you are. You are. We'll get onto that. We'll get onto ghosts in a bit. I mean, that's just brilliant. I've just heard someone saying that they actually learned something at drama school.
I really had a good time, but I mean, obviously it was difficult for us as a year group, just because of the size of the year, but also, I mean, I remember someone telling me that I was the first black person they'd ever met.
Oh God.
And this is like, I mean, drama school, you have to be 18 minimum.
Yeah. Wow. So that's 18 years.
Yeah.
Shit.
And I mean, at the same time, it's sort of fun because you're meeting people from all over. I mean, we had a few people from Norway in our year, and it meant that we, as a year group, celebrated Norway Day because we had sort of like 8 Norwegians in our year. So they really...
Hang on, so wait one second. There were more Norwegians than people of colour?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
They were getting that international student money.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But for some reason, there were loads of Norwegians. But we celebrated Norway Day as a year. So things like that, that I would have never have like sort of learned. But yeah, I do remember someone saying to me that I was the first black person that they'd ever met in real life.
What, I mean, what on earth do you say to that? Are you like, well, on behalf of my people, pleasure to meet you? I mean, what on earth do you say?
Yeah. I don't really remember how I reacted to that.
Wow. Wow, amazing. All right, so that's 2008. You are at East 15 Drama School. The number of times I've nearly called it East 17 Drama School, I'm not going to make that mistake
on
this podcast.
Where you sing Stay Another Day for 3 years.
that would be amazing. And then, weirdly, you eat loads of baked potatoes and fall out of a slow-moving vehicle.
Run yourself over.
That was so weird. That's a very nice drama school. Okay, 2010, Kyle, what have we got here? January 2010, you're starting the year with President Barack Obama's special commemorative calendar. I mean, bearing in mind, the last time we had a calendar bought on this podcast was Ollie Mann buying a calendar of Peter Andre.
Okay.
Similarly great people, I would say.
Yeah, I'd agree. You know,
they're both up there. Yeah, yeah.
Both very influential.
Exactly.
Changed the world.
Katie Price likes both of them, I'm sure.
Yes. That was for my mum. That was a present for my mum.
Okay.
I can't remember if it was a present or my mum was just like, get me a Barack Obama calendar.
Yes. I need to have one.
Yeah.
Quite right.
But that was definitely a Miss J. Bino purchase.
He is. I mean, he is for all the right reasons, just wonderful. But also, he's really hot. He's a pilf.
He's. Can you name any other pilfs?
Oh yeah, that's great. Okay, any other pilf? No. No, mate, I absolutely can't.
I can't.
I guess Trump is like a pilk, because I quite like to pilm, murder or kill, but no, I can't name any other pilk.
I mean, Clinton was to some other people, but he's not for me.
Not for me. I wouldn't have bought him a calendar. And I would have felt uncomfortable buying my mum a Clinton calendar.
Yeah.
Cards from Clinton, sure, but... Clinton calendar. Okay, so we've got Barack Obama special commemorative calendar for 2010.
How much was that?
I'm happy to tell you. Great stuff. £6.28.
Oh. There you go, Mum.
There you go.
Merry Christmas. Happy birthday.
There you are. About 50p per month, just FYI.
Okay.
So I thought I'd do some impressive math there.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. What else have we got? Love and Basketball.
The DVD.
Yeah, tell us about this, please.
Have you seen it?
No, but I'm looking at the quotes. Clever, sexy,
absolute
horny.
Absolute legendary film.
Okay.
Fantastic. What happens in it? Nothing.
Okay.
This boy and girl that grow up together. I can't remember if they're neighbors or if they grew up like across the street or around the block or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they fall in love with a basketball. No, they fall in love over basketball. They play basketball together and then they fall in love and it's beautiful. And it's one of those, it's one of the films in the, that sort of like era of iconic black films with like, Don't Be a Menace and Boys in the Hood and all that stuff was like all very, sort of drama and quite, like street life and stuff, and then this was one of the sort of one of the first that I can remember around my age group watching like a romantic film with like two black leads and about basketball, and it's a lot of fun, and I feel like I remember this and I don't know if it's true, but I feel like there was a girl that I used to see that every time she came around wanted me to put that on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Forget Netflix and chill. Love and basketball and chill.
Yeah, love and basketball and chill.
love basketball and chill. Clever. I love the quotes on the front. In massive writing. So you've got the two guys kissing and they're holding it. They're both holding a basketball, which looks a bit like they were playing on different teams. And they met in the middle. Instead of like tackling him or him tackling her, they've just started snogging, which is which would be.
It's kind of cute.
It'd be a great twist to any sport, wouldn't it?
if you both touch the ball at the same time, you have to kiss.
They should do it for snooker as well. Like if you're playing snooker and you miss a pot, you can have the ball, but you've got to kiss the other player. It should be more kissing in sports.
Every time a goalkeeper saves the ball, you have to kiss the striker. That is beautiful.
More kissing in sports. Oh, I can go to bed happy tonight knowing that I've said those words. So they're being distracted by kissing each other's faces. Mm-hmm. It's just the quotes on the front. Clever, sexy, horny, right in the middle. All right.
Wow.
All right. Chill your
beans. Perfect, isn't it? That's what you want. Everything you want in a partner. Clever, sexy, and horny.
Clever, sexy, and horny. This is a good one from an Amazon customer. Reviews here. 1 star. It's my own fault in a way, but I also think it's naughty not to highlight. This will not work on UK devices as it's region 1. That's an unfair review of scripting and cinematography, isn't it?
You cannot give that 1 star because of that. That's what you got to give. Like, that's your delivery. That's your region. Right. That's the problem with the region.
Review your region, mate. Save it for your region, you know, your regional meeting.
Save it for your region, mate.
Exactly. You're so fucking region 1 or region 2. Not for UK, Cold Not Play, which sounds like a review of Coldplay rather than this.
Well, mine worked fine, so I don't know what everyone's banging on about.
Yeah, exactly, mate. It's a classic film. All right, that's All's Fair in Love and Basketball and Kissing, and it's a very horny film. Other great films you got here, Soul Food from 1998, Vanessa Williams et al.
Absolutely never seen that.
Okay, good. Fine.
What the hell is that?
I don't know, mate. Soul Food. I can give you a breakdown of the film,
please.
If you like. Every Sunday, young Ahmed's family gathers for Sunday dinner at his grandmother's house. When Ahmed's grandmother falls into a coma, however, the family begins to splinter. Ahmed's uncle Lem loses his job. Aunt Terry, played by Vanessa L. Williams, witnesses her husband having sex with her cousin. And Ahmed's mother, Maxine, attempts to keep the warring factions of her family together. What a lot going on there, Kyle.
That sounds shit.
Mate, not according to reviews. Good, good, good. Family video, it says here.
Okay.
I'm not sure that's, I mean, that's in a sense family, but I'm
family
not sure.
Family video.
That. You wouldn't want to get the families.
One video,
there,
two.
Yeah.
Like uncles having sex with cousins. No, that's not what happened. Wait, I made that bit up. What was it?
Well, some incest, some cousins were at it.
Right.
I mean, maybe they were playing basketball together.
Ooh.
And then one thing led to another.
Please say no more. If you love me, really, baby, don't walk out that back door.
Get yourself some gas and air and breathe deeply.
We're talking on the phone while he had his arm inside my vagina.
In my head, I was saying, could you go and see if the anaesthetist is free? And what I was actually saying out loud was, help me! CD player doesn't work. I was like, I'm sorry! I'm a fucking CD player! Where's my playlist? That's One Torn Every Minute with me, Beth Murray. Available now from Great Big Owl. Help me!
My matey bought a toaster.
Jump on ahead now to 2011. So by this stage, you're out in the world. You've left drama school,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You're cutting your teeth as an actor. How is it going?
I'm absolutely
so far?
Not doing that. I'm in a call center.
Okay.
I'm very heavily in a call center.
Oh, man.
Yeah, 2011. I think I started in February 2011. So
was it one near Old Street by any chance? That's where they all were.
No, it was in Cross Harbour by Canary Wharf. But I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess going to a call centre after drama school, nice to be able to still see, you know, all your drama school mates every day.
Exactly.
That's one thing, isn't it? Well, the Norwegians in the corner here, guys. What's going on?
Yeah, it's lovely to still be surrounded by actors.
Yeah. I bet they have a canteen. They've just got a green room, surely, at the call centre.
Well, the place was actually created for actors.
Oh.
It was for out-of-work actors. So there was a very strong acting theme where they had the headshots of all the management on the wall and had them there for maybe 20 years.
Okay.
They had two big, like, Oscar ornaments.
Right.
Like, made out of that shit.
Oh, God, this is so depressing.
Yeah.
And is this actually for real? So this is what you'd go and you'd see this. Oh, God. So, and what call center stuff did you do? What phone calls did you have to make? I mean, do you want to give us a taste? Maybe a little flavor of a chat you'd do?
I will be sick if I do that. I will be violently sick all over Danielle's wall.
What, just give us a little, go on, what kind of thing?
I was selling magazines. So we're talking gardening magazines. Finance magazines, computer magazines.
What the hell? The hell do you sell a magazine? Like, you're actually selling the magazine. You're not selling advertising space. You're actually selling.
No,
so you're
selling
phoning up.
Magazine. So no. So what would happen is there would be a advert on television, and it would say that people can call up for a free guide on how to use a computer. For example.
I see. I know the ones you mean. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then people would see that and be like, oh, I don't know how to turn a computer on. I'll call them. Yeah. Then they call. I answer. They're like, shit, this guy doesn't know anything either. and then I would upsell them the subscription to the proper computing magazine.
I see. So what they thought was their chance to pick up a freebie was actually their chance to get hustled.
Yeah. So there'd be various reactions to that. There'd be like, no, I just call for the free one and I'll just have that. Thanks. Then there'd be the, I can't believe that you're trying to sell me something after you said free. It's disgusting. I'm going to contact Trading Standards. And then there was the people that would like just hang up. Or there were people who would say that, yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, I'll take that. And that would happen very, very rarely. But also you get the people that would be like, yeah, I'll take that, definitely. And then get all the way up to the last bit of the card details and then hang up. Yeah.
Were you on commission or did you just...
We were on £5 an hour. and you'd get a commission, which was £1.50 per sale.
Oh, geez.
So that the average was sort of like 21 sales. So like, I think it worked out that you would get about £70 if you had a good day.
Okay.
But that is like 8 hours of, well, you got half an hour for lunch. So it'd be 7.5 hours of constantly being on the phone and trying to sell these magazines.
Didn't you ever want to play with the form? Didn't you ever, like, you know, put on an accent for it or try and do something? It sounds like flyering in Edinburgh. You just want to do a little show for them.
When I got there, they were like, you absolutely must not put on an accent because people, the calls are recorded, and if there are any complaints and they listen to a call back, they won't recognize who it is.
Did that ever happen to anyone? Did anyone ever get a complaint?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Go on.
Ooh. I remember one Sunday. I used to work Sundays because, hardly any managers were in. So it meant you could do whatever you wanted and not answer the phones. So that's what I'd do.
Yeah, nice, good.
And I'd probably do about 8 calls a day instead of the, 60 that we're meant to do on a Sunday. And I remember there was one Sunday that their manager was in, and this guy... He's actually the son of quite a famous actor. He was, and he's a bit Essex, and he's quite a good salesman boy, child. And,
sales child. Very Dickensian. Yeah.
He was talking to this lady, and he was like, "Yes, I'll throw in that for you. And what you can also get is one of these. I'll get that sorted for you now." And then he's doing all the upsell and da, da, da. And I think, like, because some people are fucking stupid that they don't understand. When they're saying, like, yeah, I want all the extra stuff, they don't understand that when we're saying we're going to sell you this, they have to pay for it.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, I'll take that as well. I'll take that.
And then there's a number at the end.
Yeah. So you're thinking as the person, the sales caller, that you're getting a sale. So you're like, okay, and I'll just take your long card number. And they're like, what? And so, like, this woman had obviously not realized that what she was saying yes to was a sale. Yeah. And when he got to the long card number, she was like, oh my gosh, you're trying to con me. No, I can't believe it. And then hung up. No, well, the line went dead. So then he went, fucking idiot. And then she said, what did you call me?
No.
Yeah. Shit. Don't do that when the manager's in.
Shit.
So, but because he was very well liked, they just changed his name on the system. So they told, I think they told the company that they'd fired him, but they just changed his name on the system.
So obviously I don't want you putting anyone in any trouble here, but I would bear in mind before I ask you this question, this is nearly 10 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And the only thing my listeners will want to know is whose kid it was. You know, this is a sliding doors moment for the podcast. You know, this is either going to go great because you've, you know, completely immorally told me something, or it's just gonna shut down. I mean, it's up to you. It's up to you. No pressure.
I'm just gonna Google him to see what he does now.
Okay. Go do this.
He's acting. He is acting.
So he's actually acting, is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he can take the hit. He's probably quite proud of it.
His dad was quite a big name in EastEnders for a long time.
Oh really? It was.
Yeah.
Is it a spawn of like a Shane Ritchie type?
No, not really. No, he was like a bad boy. He was like bad boy on the square.
Who was the bad boy on the square? So like, oh God, who can I think of who's bad on the square? Like I can't think. You're gonna have to absolutely spell it out for me.
He was a naughty guy on the square. He came in for a few years. Let me see how long he was there for.
Okay, hang on.
He was there from...
Yeah, okay, this is where we can do it, right? You lead me to it by the nose, then I say his name and you leave a silence and you haven't actually told me?
Right.
Okay, so...
First appearance was 1999. His last appearance was 2001.
Oh, okay, so a while ago.
Yeah.
All right, so EastEnders villains. So was it a Kemp, for example?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't a regular.
It wasn't a regular, right. Okay, all right.
Oh, sorry, no, I know who you mean, but he was there a lot longer than that, I think.
Yeah, he probably was, actually. Okay, EastEnders Bad Boys, 1999. OK, Okay.
Yeah, that calendar.
Here we go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Was it Dan Sullivan? He was quite a big, handsome, kind of rude boy around that time. I mean, he, your silence will...
He was, wasn't yeah. he? Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, we'll move on. Great stuff. So, thank you very much indeed. The revelations.
So yeah, that was a strange time that went on for far too long. I stayed.
How long were you in the call center for?
I was there for maybe 4 years longer than I should have been. I was there for 4.5 years. But the good thing about it was that you could go off and do acting work, and
of course, yeah,
come back. And it was always there. And I sort of got pally enough with managers and stuff to work out how to do a full day's work without doing any work.
You can play the system a little bit. Yeah. But I like that you never quite got promoted enough where you became one of the bosses. Nearly half a decade there, you stayed thoroughly on the shop floor.
Oh, yeah. Big time. I would never want it. I saw what happened to supervisors, man. I've seen that shit, man. It's crazy. Yeah,
you went all Vietnam then.
Yeah, man. Nah, it's bad news. When you go from someone like that you sit next to on the phones and you just chat shit and talk about how shit the job is to them becoming the supervisor and be like, come on, guys, we've got to do better than that. And you're you make me sick and I want to throw you out the window.
And what was it like when you left? What year did you leave the call center?
2015. I got fired 10th of May 2015.
Okay, because I was sort of about to start this narrative where, you know, what an amazing moment, there you are going out into the world, your acting is keeping you going, now you don't need them anymore. Okay, right, come on, so what happened in 2015 then?
So I got moved to a different account, which was upstairs. They made like a, because originally it was just floors 5 and 7, and then they got floor 6. So they moved me to floor 6. So it's different manager. It's a guy that I had been on the phones with previously, who was such a great guy back then. And he was like, we used to have jokes on the phone, and especially on the weekends. If I knew that he was in on the weekend, I was like, yeah, great, we're going to have a good one.
Oh, man, so an actual real life work friend.
Yeah. And then he turned into a piece of shit. And he was he was a horrible boss.
What? Why do people do this? All for like an extra, like, you know, £1 an hour or something.
Yeah. He was, he was bad news, man. And I don't know why that happened. I think the power just got to his head and he really like was going sick. I can't remember what his actor name is because he changed his name.
Oh, so does he still act now, or do you think he's still in the call centre?
I think he owns the call centre now.
Jeez.
I don't know what he's doing now, but he... So I was seeing a girl at the call centre at that time, and we were like the worst. We were just the two worst employees in the whole building. And we did
you
no
both
work.
Work at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, did you just go off? Just, and...
Yeah. But we were just like absolutely messing about. 100% of the time. And he was like constantly like, and I actually, someone at work that stayed there for quite a while, she bumped into one of the managers and she asked him like, who was the worst in your whole time there? And he said, the two of us. I'm so proud of that.
I can hear real pride. Yeah. I can hear real pride coming at that. Forget drama school, mate. That is your crowning achievement so far. Forget ghosts. Who cares about BBC One sitcom, man? This is huge. Yeah. This is
huge. I've been fired from. Yeah. I got fired from that place 6 times in total, but the last time they really meant it.
I think we should do a podcast just about times you've been fired. I think that'd be a much better spin-off, to be honest.
I mean, I could talk about that place for so long. There's so many things that happened there. One of my favorite phone calls was when I asked a woman for her postcode, and she said, you want a photo? A photo of me? I don't know. I don't think I have any. And that was an incredible moment.
Was she Welsh? Were you doing Welsh then?
Big Welsh, yeah.
She Welsh? Was she Welsh? You want a photo? I think you're a photo.
I don't think I have any. Not how am I going to get you a photo?
No, I love that she was happy to do it.
She doesn't think she has any. I also remember calling someone in 2013 and their date of birth was 1912.
Holy hell.
I still sold that shit, though.
Always closing.
We like to listen to toast, and we're not the kind who would boast. Even in spite of the host, we
like to listen to Toast. La, 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 la.
All right, okay, let's keep looking at your stuff. We haven't looked at your stuff for ages, Kyle. We've been completely distracted by the call centre.
Yes.
2011, all sorts of movies. I mean, we all know these are great films. Kick-Ass.
Yes.
The Little Rascals.
Yes.
The Incredibles.
Love the Incredibles.
Yes. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I haven't watched that yet.
What, Eternal Sunshine?
No.
Oh, that's great. Kate Winslet and Jim Carrey. Brilliant movie. Brilliant movie.
I've got that sitting there. I mean, I don't even have a DVD player anymore, so...
We just watched the actual DVD. When people now say they're watching a DVD, they're just sitting and looking at an actual plastic CD.
Looking at it.
Yeah. To be honest, it's a similar experience to watching the film because the film's off its tits. So you'll achieve the same thing.
I look forward to that.
American Beauty, starring, of course, Kevin Spacey. That's probably a problematic film now, I imagine.
Yeah.
I would say we've talked about that film before because it is one of my favourite films, but I can't remember who it was on, but we just went through it and they'd explained to me why it's not. It's just not on anymore. It was quite...
Really?
Well, yeah, but just because the main plotline of a slightly pervy dad basically having sex with a girl and grooming a girl and sort of presented as a romantic dream fulfillment thing.
It's called the flowers. They tried to make it feel like it was romantic, but...
Yeah, the flowers don't excuse it. You know, when Kevin Spacey goes up in court, I'm not sure he's going to now, but were he to go in court, you know, if his main defence was to get some flowers to fall from the ceiling, it's not... It's not going to work, isn't it? Especially if the jurors have got hay fever. It's going to be...
It's going down.
It's going down. Monster Cable Beats by Dr. Dre, £19.20. That's August 2011. I mean, they are... they're only £14.77.
Yeah, that's a big fake, man.
So that's from a Dre who's not actually a doctor? Is that what he's...
That's Professor Dre.
I mean, do they work as well for £14.77?
I do not remember. I think that was because I'm always lost things. I always lose headphones and sunglasses, so I never spend a lot of money on them because I know that they will last me a few months max.
Yeah, well, 3 months later, 15th of March 2012, and you've bought some high-tech computing red headphones. For $4.99, so this is definitely a thing.
Right, All
right, that's 2012. Not much, only two purchases in 2012. We're getting through to 2013, nothing in 2013. We're still in the call center days. 2014, nothing still. I feel like I'm a horse racing commentator. 2015, absolutely nothing in 2015. Going through to 2016, now one order in 2016. Do you want to know what you bought?
Yes, please.
Beats by Dre. Monster in your headphones.
Real ones?
Nah, mate, absolutely not. £23.99, just buying the fake shit. That's good to see. Very good. Scooching on ahead to 2017. No items bought in 2017, Kyle. 2018, 9 items bought.
Here we go.
Here we bloody go. Where shall we start on this little journey? Again, as there's themes here. You always seem to buy things involving either Jim Carrey or The Incredibles. You've bought an Incredibles 2 men's costume t-shirt in June 2018.
I don't like that it says costume in there because that makes it sound like I was dressing up.
Although as an actor, you could probably tax deduct that.
Ooh. Trishna on the phone. I think, yes, that was when Incredibles came. 2018. I was seeing a girl from Australia then.
Okay.
I remember that because she took the photo of me in my t-shirt next to the Incredibles poster. And it was the first time she was like, are you a geek? I was like, no, I just like this film.
it's my happy place. Leave me alone.
Yeah. She got deported, sadly. But she's still here in my heart.
Chopped. Okay, fine. Did she get deported not long after she asked you if you were a geek? Was there a phone call you made?
I'm not having that.
Did you just call me a geek? Hello, Theresa May. Yeah, hi. She's at the multiplex. That's great.
No, her visa ran out.
Right.
Poor
right,
thing.
Okay.
And I wasn't going to marry her, so.
Was that discussed? Was that ever mooted?
No, it wasn't.
All right, okay. Okay.
Maybe she'll listen to this and be disgusted by my actions.
Well, she doesn't sound like she liked your t-shirt, so I'm not sure she was a keeper in the first place. To be honest, mate. You know,
thanks, man.
This is a cool t-shirt. This t-shirt says to me, you know, this man knows what he's about. He knows what he wants in life.
I know what I like. The Incredibles too.
Yeah, exactly. And thumbs up, diamond glass, set of two, transparent glasses, fancy. £18.72.
Oh, do you know what? I moved those. I transported them yesterday. Because I haven't actually used them. Because I was at my mum's house, and my mum thinks that alcohol is the devil.
Right, she's right, yeah.
I never used those glasses, but now that I've got my own gaff, I am going to be whipping them out nonstop. What do you want? Tap water. Here you go. Diamond whiskey glass. You're welcome.
So does your mum not let you drink when you've lived with her?
It's not that she doesn't let me. It's just that she will moan about it for a substantial amount of time.
Yeah.
And she calls it booze.
Yeah.
I think that's like her way of trying to make me feel like Phil Mitchell. Oh, you got your booze again, have you?
Shut up, Sharon.
I don't want 11 a.m.
It's very weird, that, isn't it? Parents, whatever parents do, it sort of has the opposite effect.
Yeah.
So like my mum, right? She wasn't, this isn't probably the place to talk about it, but she was an alcoholic. I've talked about it before on various podcasts. And she's obsessed with alcohol. So whenever I go back and see her, because she doesn't drink, she hasn't drunk for 20 years, which is great. But she buys me booze because she wants me to drink. So she's like an alcohol feeder.
Right.
So I go and stay at her house and I'm like, so I don't want to drink. Like the opposite always happens with parents. But what I'm saying is, do you want to swap mums? Is that too much?
No, I'm well out for that.
Okay.
Right, I mean, she's got two rooms empty now, so you can have a great time in there.
Oh, mate. Okay, two rooms. Imagine that. Get up in the middle of the night and swap rooms. That'd be dreamy. all right. It's got a bit weird, this podcast, hasn't it? June 2018, a clothes brush for £11.48.
What's a clothes brush?
A bobble remover for clothes.
Oh, yeah. That didn't work.
It didn't work?
No. It was like a proper, like... There's like a retro one that you have to like use your hands and stuff. It doesn't even have like batteries in it. It's like a actual, you got like a pickaxe to your clothes. I was like, nah, okay. Get out, okay. Get rid of that. Hang on.
Like taking a pickaxe, I love that, a pickaxe to your clothes, nah, get out. Okay. Have you got a headline for me?
is that the review?
Yep. Headline, this didn't work.
Yeah.
This didn't work. Choose your public name. Do you want to have a different public name?
Change. Let's use Dan Sullivan.
Dan. I've changed your public name to, and this is the great thing, don't forget, obviously, if you're listening to this and maybe you've just landed halfway through this episode, to be very clear, I am in Kyle's Amazon. He's not. He's just sitting listening to me while I go through it. So I can do anything I like. And you have technically signed the disclaimer, so your public name is him off of Ghosts. Submit. Okay, great. That's done. Let's go into 2019, Kyle. Are you ready for how are you feeling about 2019? Things are picking up. 21 orders.
Yeah, there's going to be more action going on.
Oh, mate, you've got a minky bubble remover. What is it with you and bubbles, man?
Well, the first one didn't fucking work.
Real problem with Bob.
What's the minky one? Is that that's the electric one with the batteries?
Yeah, but Minky is a name for a female lady part, isn't it? I always thought Minky was. I remember there were kids at school who used to call them Minkies. Yeah, I'm sure.
Where did you go to school?
The 80s, and I was homeschooled, but. Minky bubble remover. It's only got 4 stars out of 5. Oh yeah, right. By Minky. There's a brand called Minky. There you go.
Yeah, I think that's the one I'm still using.
Are you absolutely kidding me?
No, I'm still using that bad boy.
The journey we've been on with your bubbles. when you consider where we were a few minutes ago, when you were in the depths of despair because you bought one that didn't work, and now here we are, you're fully defuzzed.
Oh yeah, big time. I'm not catching myself on anything. No burrs on my clothes.
Ain't no burrs on me. Okay, good. He's burr-free. What else has he got? A stainless steel silver gold tone executive GQ Simply Classic Men's Necktie Tie Bar Clip. The titles for products
that
on Amazon are getting longer.
So long. I had no idea what that was, even halfway into you saying it.
I know. Could have gone in any direction. A tie clip, essentially, is what he bought there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
£10.48. Nice.
£10?
Mm-hmm.
It's too late to send that back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Yeah, your return window closed November 2019, mate.
Damn it.
Absolutely gone. What else have we got? Oh, we splashed out here. £40 on a photo frame bar with non-reflective glass. It's a picture frame. You got a nice picture frame.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a big one. That was a big one. I did a play called Five's a Crowd in 2014, and the poster was rolled up in the corner of my room for 5 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because I couldn't find a frame big enough.
Right, and then you got, you know what though, again, we've talked, something we've talked about before, this is a sign of growing up and becoming an adult, when you put the blue tack away and you buy the frames. Yeah. You're a grown up by this stage, Carl. Yeah, that's what's happened.
Yeah.
See, there you go. Nice to keep posters of the shows you've been in as well, just to prove to, you know, the rest of your family and, you know, your children as and when and if they come along. I did actually do something once that wasn't just wiping your ass, you know?
It's, exactly.
It's proof. The Amazon Basics 24 pair over the door medium size shoe organizer. Yes, please.
Okay, so let me give you a little secret. You pop that on the back of your door. Yeah. You put in your socks and your boxes. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I can't breathe. No, sorry. Hey, Al.
Yeah. Don't
know if you can hear me, mate. you must have been a problem on the line there. It's a shoe organizer, okay?
Yeah. You're still putting shoes in a shoe organizer? Loser.
Hey, you know what as well? 12th of April, 2019, you buy this for £14.89. You know what happens on the 16th of April?
What happens?
You go again, mate. You absolutely go again.
Oh, yeah. It came and my mum was like, I want one. Where'd you get that? Give me one.
Tell me, she doesn't put shoes in it as well, right? She uses.
I don't know
also.
What she uses that for. In fact, I don't think she's even taken it out of the box.
Well, you need to have words with her about that.
I don't live there anymore. She could do what she wants.
It's not yet. Exactly. Not your problem, man. Not your problem. All right. Okay. Here's what we're going to do, Carl. We're going to go rampaging into the present. If that is a sentence that makes any sense at all. And we are now in 2020. Lockdown. So you've had most of your lockdown at your mum's house, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And now, as we record this, a couple of days ago, you moved into your own place.
Yes.
Okay. So has that involved buying lots of stuff? I mean, has that meant that you've been on Amazon, you know, for example, buying the Bedstory bamboo pillows pack of two? Hello.
Yeah, boy. Charlotte Ritchie is very, she feels very strongly about bamboo. She's the only person I've ever heard talk about it as a material. So on her recommendation, I bought two pillows.
Right, right. But hang on. So which bit's made of bamboo? The actual material?
I've got no idea. I don't have a clue what's going on in that thing. I just know that it feels like I'm sleeping on them clouds.
Wow. Well, that is probably why pandas struggle to reproduce, because they're so comfy sleeping on the bamboo stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They never get around to it. 16th of May, camera, phone, tripod. Someone's been doing some home videoing.
Oh, it's an absolute piece of shit. Like, it's made out of nothing. You can't, like, trying to even find the spirit level thing on it. I think they've just made out, they just put some water in there and, like, it's just, like, water and oil or something to make it look like. It's garbage. I kept it like in the box for a while because I didn't need it, and then I did this like a Zoom filming thing, and I got it out to use it. First of all, it's about 3 feet tall and that's its maximum height, and it's like, it's so shit.
It's so annoying when you buy these things. And, you know, how could you have known it was shit when you spent all of $12.99 on it?
Exactly. No, I'm expecting that to be premium.
Right. This is what we do on Amazon. We spend £4 on a bit of plastic from China, and it comes and it's crap, and we're all just completely dismayed.
I can't believe it. I'm going to have to go back to putting my phone on the toilet roll holder. Not holder. You know the, what's that thing called? The bit in the middle.
What do you mean? The tube. Two professional adult men struggling to find the most basic of words as we get towards the end of My Mate Bought a Toaster.
The
cardboard roll.
So you cut out. You cut out like a little strip on either side. Make it symmetrical, and then put your phone in there.
You know, that is a very good solution. I can give you another solution. This is a bit more protracted. Right. What you need to do is get yourself some kids.
Ah, yes.
Bring them up for a couple of years. And after about 2.5 years of looking after them,
right,
they start to get into Lego.
Mm-hmm.
Then you buy a load of Lego.
Right.
And then you build a little Lego tower, which you can put your phone on. That's what I do for self-taping.
Okay. So the next time I'm asked to do a self-tape, I'm going to say, just give me 3 years.
Just give me 3 years. Actually, 3 years. Yeah. Give me 3 years.
I know it's meant to be in for Monday, but can you give me 3 years?
I've just got to go and fall in love. Actually, to be honest, you don't even need to do that. All right, let's have a look then, shall we? Let's have a look at the very
final thing that you bought, or at least the most up-to-date thing. This isn't the final thing that you bought, because I'm not going to kill you, just FYI. Oh, right. You will continue to live after this.
Oh, shit, I was looking.
Yeah. The final thing you bought, lovely stuff. Here is someone buying possibly the most, indulging yourself here as you prepare for life, you know, living in your own flat setup here, not living with your mum anymore. And when the man lives by himself, he's got to buy the toilet brush set.
I can't believe there wasn't a toilet brush in that place. I was like, are you joking? You can't give me that.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's ridiculous. And you've got to have a bog brush in there, because there's nothing says bachelor more than skid marks in the toilet.
Oh, absolutely. And that's not what we want.
That's not what we want. So, I mean, have you used that yet, or is that still actually on the way?
No, it's on the way, yeah.
It's on the way.
I mean, that might be coming now, and I'm... Imagine, not there.
Oh my God. Imagine if live this was interrupted. I know, because you're not in your house, are you?
No.
You're not recording in your house. It's quite a parcel to open as well, that, isn't it, to get there. Oh, Amazon package. Here we go. Because no matter how many times we buy random shit from Amazon, whenever we get the package, we are excited.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Because sometimes we're like, oh, is this going to come? Is both of my things going to come at once in one box, or are they going to come in separate boxes?
Exactly. Here we go. What is it? It's something to clean shit off the toilet with. So there you go. Listen, final thing, right? Added in October 2019. What we're going to do for the final thing, Kyle, we're going to your wish list. So this is stuff you'd like in the future, and maybe listeners who are fans of yours. Well, yeah, you've got a wish list on here, my friend. And people can maybe, if they're huge fans of Ghosts, the brilliant, brilliant sitcom which you star in, which is going to be on BBC One very, very soon indeed.
That's
maybe
right.
They can buy you this as a little token to say thank you for being brilliant in that wonderful show.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Lou, 14K yellow gold octagonal snake chain necklace. That is absolutely delightful.
What?
That's on your wish list. Yeah, it's on your wish list, mate.
Snake chain necklace.
A snake chain necklace.
14K. How much is that?
I can't see, actually. Annoyingly, I can't see because I think they've taken it off Amazon. I think you put it on.
Oh, great. Yeah.
I don't think it exists anymore.
Well, yeah. Good. Great. Fine.
Well, you know, that's a perfect analogy for the Amazon wish list, isn't it? It's just dreams. Dreams we can't ever have.
There you go, guys. Yeah. Anything you want. Anything you want. Put it on your wish list. You can have anything. Okay, great. I'll pop that on there. When I've got enough money, when I'm successful enough, after I've moved out, then maybe I'll treat myself to that. Oh, no, it's gone.
From Amazon. Listen, this is definitely not going to be a raise. This is going to be on the air very soon. Kyle, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For joining me on My Mate Bought a Toaster. You're absolutely brilliant. I think you're wonderful in Ghosts.
Thanks, man.
All the bits. And good luck with that. That new series is out very soon.
Yes, that's right.
And what the hell else do you do? I mean, this is the problem, isn't it? When you're an actor, everyone sees you on telly and they're like, oh, you're on telly, you're doing well. And you're like, no, I'm not. I've been on my pants all day.
I literally filmed that 11 months ago. I've done nothing since then. I'm looking forward to that coming out. That was a lot of fun to film, and it was great to be back there in the house with all those idiots. And we get to do it again. It was film series 3 at the start of next year.
Wonderful stuff. Good stuff. Kyle, thank you very much for joining us. That's Kyle Smith by now on My Mate Bought a Toaster. All the best, lots of love, kind regards, thank you, goodbye.
Thanks, man, that was so much fun.
There you go, the very wonderful Kyle Smith Bino. And the new series of Ghosts is out next week on BBC One. I think it's the 21st of September that it is, I'm going to say it again, dropping. Yeah, man, using all the lingo. That was nice, wasn't it? Isn't he great? What a fantastic human being. What a very funny man. It's really good Ghosts as well. All those horrible history guys being brilliant. What I didn't tell Kyle was that I auditioned for that part and didn't get it. I didn't mention it. Maybe I'll mention it next time I see him. Maybe I won't. Anyway, that's enough of me. That's enough of this episode. Thanks for listening. As usual, if you've enjoyed this experience, any kind of review is always very welcome. I say any kind. There's really only one kind that I'm after specifically. It's the broadly positive ones. Not even broadly, the very positive ones. If you get a moment to write down something along the lines of, wow, the best podcast I've ever heard, and then do lots of emojis. There's lots of emojis popping up on all the latest reviews, which I'm pleased to get nice reviews, but at the same time, I loathe emojis. So I'm not sure how I feel. I'm very torn. Anyway, go to your podcast platform, and if you write a nice review, it encourages other people to listen, and I need some more listeners. Just because I like having lots of listeners, and then I get more money for the adverts, and I could almost pay myself. I mean, I say almost. At the moment, we're earning £22 a month. So if I can get to £25 a month, that's me covered for the next several years. Have a lovely week. Take care. See you soon. Bye.
Oh, by the way, I was about to go then, but I want you to know this. Next week, Tim Dowling is on. He is the Observer columnist. Very, very funny. If you like your humour dry as dust, then please, please make sure you subscribe and listen. Tim Dowling, the Observer columnist, will be joining me for My Mate Bought a Toaster next week. It is a corker. Tell your friends and drop us a line on @ToasterPod and all the bits. Bye now. All I want, baby, just a little kiss from you. All I want, baby, just a little kiss from you.
GreatBigOwl.com.
I'm Tilly Steele.
And I'm Helen Monk.
And this is Bitchin'.
I'm dyslexic. Yeah, why do you read the Wikipedia page? It's good to practice.
A podcast where every week we talk about a different person.
So how old was he when he first popped on the scene?
That's a great
question. If you say he was my age, I'm gonna fucking die.
And we veer wildly off track.
Pop that Prosecco.
Available on all your podcast apps. That's not
right. Can you not say in the advert?
Available on all your podcast platforms. Just search Bitchin' or Great Big Owl.
We'll see you there.
That was all right.